evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clote in Washington, D.C.
Well, it is good news. It brings hope for peace. At least this ceasefire can allow people to return to their houses and their activities.
Rwandan President Paul Kagame calls on the M23 rebels to cease fire.
This is the trajectory they actually want the government to talk. And when we call upon the police, really all we are saying is they should really be professional.
A civil society group calls on Zambia's law enforcement organizations to ensure they respect for human rights as they carry out their mandates.
The raw cashew is processed here. And instead of that, going to Vietnam and then back to the European market and American market to be sold to the consumers, that alone is allowing us to reduce the carbon footprint.
And as world leaders met in Egypt to discuss ways to combat climate change, one possible solution brews in Benin. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. A former governor of Kasai Province in the Democratic Republic of Congo has welcomed calls by Rwanda's President Paul Kagame for M23 rebels to support a ceasefire. Herbert Kabasu Babu Katulondi also says the international community and regional leaders should pressure the administration in Kinshasa to ensure peace and stability in the country. His remarks come after Kenya's former president Uhuru Kenyatta says Kagame has added his voice to calls on the M23 rebels in the DRC to adhere to a ceasefire. Kagame also called on the rebels to withdraw from areas they have recently captured during fighting with the Congolese army. The former Kenyan leader is mediating the effort to find peace by stopping the conflict in the DRC. For analysis on the latest development in the DRC, I reach Herbert Kabasu Babu Katulondi.
Well, it is good news. It brings hope for peace. At least this ceasefire can allow people to return to their houses and their activities. And it is encouraging for the region and particularly for the Congolese, innocent civilians, peasants, their villagers. We've been prevented from, working in the fields and other activities.
The M23 rebels say that an agreement with the government appeared to have faltered because the government did not uphold its part of the agreement. Of course, the agreement was with the previous administration. But where do you think things go from here? Because it appears the M23 has stepped up attacks and have captured many areas since they resumed hostilities.
Yes, there were commitments with the previous government, meaning the government of Mr. Kabila, the so-called Addis Ababa mechanism. But it is also important here to underline the fact that the M23 rebels were completely defeated then, and then they negotiated and a situation where they had been completely disbanded and they were actually sent, conveyed to Uganda and Rwanda, where they were in exile. In reality, now they are fighting not subsequent to the previous government of Mr. Kabila defaulting, but the government of Mr. Tshisekedi, who had been in contact with them even while they were fighting against the Congolese government during President Kabila's era. So their problem now is vis-a-vis the government of Mr. Tshisekedi, who had invited them, who had been the associate, who had invited them to Kinshasa for 14 months. They were accommodated in some luxurious hotels. They were actually promised to be reintegrated in the army. They were promised actually to be a component of a special brigade that was going to comprise M23 troops, the troops of a former MLC Bemba armed component who are still in Congo-Brazzaville, and also the troops of a certain General Munene. So they were promised many things, to be reintegrated into the army, their ranks being recognized, and also being given some money, et cetera, et cetera. So right now, they are fighting the government of Mr. Tshisekedi owing to his reneging on some of his commitments.
The former president of Kenya said President Paul Kagame has agreed to use his influence on the M23, you know, to try to have some sense of peace for the people. What do you think is the best way forward in order to resolve this problem in the Congo?
Well, it is war also not in the contrary to what is being said. Many troops of M23 are former Congolese soldiers. That's the reality. But the reality also is that the real problem is not really Rwanda or Kenya or Uganda. The real fundamental major problem here is where Mr. Tshisekedi does comply with the constitution. So the real problem is the inability of the current regime to sort of materialize its commitment with whomsoever it interacts with, its previous political associates, you know, the alliance or coalition with Mr. Kabila or with Mr. Moise Katumbi, with Mr. Vital Kamerhe, and so on and so forth. So even if when Mr. Kagame says, well, he's going to use his influence vis-a-vis M23 for them to cease fire, et cetera, et cetera. So the problem will be that whatever agreement will be signed will be entered into between the Congolese government and M23, it is highly likely that somehow the security regime will renege on or rescind some of the commitment, and then the problem, the key problem, will still be there. So the situation should be, actually, the solution should be systemic, holistic, saying, how do regional leaders help Congo to go back to the constitutional democracy?
Herbert Kabasu Babu Katolondi is a former governor of Kasai Province in the Democratic Republic of Congo. He spoke with me from the South African capital, Pretoria. In Zambia, a civil society group is calling on law enforcement organizations and the police to ensure the respect for human rights as they carry out their mandates. The Zambia Center for Interparty Dialogue says the fundamental right of suspect accused of committing crimes should be respected as enshrined in the Constitution. The remarks come after opposition representatives recently held a press conference expressing concern about the violation of their rights during arrests by law enforcement agencies. They also claim the arrests are politically motivated to weaken opposition groups, accusations ruling party supporters sharply deny. Doreen Njovu Kabwe is the executive director of the Zambia Center for Interparty Dialogue. She tells me that law enforcement organizations must respect human rights when they arrest suspects.
There's been a couple of arrests, opposition political party leaders. If you really get to the bottom of it all, it's like this is what the opposition political parties are interested in, or this is what this is the trajectory they actually want the government to tow. And when we call upon the police, really all we are saying is, they should really be professional, and when they are arresting somebody for offences, it must be clear. Case in point, the one of the opposition political party leaders. I'll tell you the challenge that would have, you would have a lot of pressure from the public. There are certain things that he had said, of course they hinge on probably national security, and these are some of the issues that law enforcement officers are supposed to probably investigate and get to the bottom of.
But Doreen, the case is, if somebody is alleged to have committed a crime, the police are mandated by the Constitution to maintain law and order, and they are supposed to investigate when such allegations are brought up. They arrested these people who are alleged to have broken the law. Why shouldn't people allow the law to take its natural course rather than interpret it in political terms?
The problem we have also noticed is that some of the comments are just funny comments. You hear, oh, somebody has been arrested. Two days later, probably they are behind the cells. They are not charged. Later, you hear they're out. what is the problem? Defamation. We'll go to court. And somebody, I think, made a statement to say there are some of these leaders that have been arrested maybe 4 or 5 times within a week or within some days. And you keep arresting them and releasing them, arresting them. Of course, that's what is supposed to happen. Apparently, the issue is when somebody is arrested for a bailable offense, they must be released on bail and taken to court. The complaint really from our members has been to the effect that when a person, an opposition leader, is arrested and they are taken to the cells, for instance, the arresting officer, they'll make it difficult for bail to be acquired.
Why wouldn't these political parties engage your group, since it's an inter-party dialogue, to address some of these concerns rather than read political meanings and say these arrests are politically motivated?
No, look, the challenge is that when a matter is taken to the police or when the matter goes to court, we really don't have much ground to really address those issues, because the courts will have to pronounce themselves on those matters. There's been a lot of wrangles. We only probably discuss some of these issues when they are away from the police or no arrest has been made. Even if we caught, for instance, one of these leaders to say, all right, fine, probably they need to tone down, let's discuss the way forward, the fact remains that some of these matters are going to go to court. We feel probably that the police, they should really exercise maximum restraint.
So basically, you are saying the optics doesn't look good. But my question is, will there be an effort from your organization to engage all these political parties who have concerns, devoid of the court? Because for law enforcement agencies, it has to be dealt with by the court. But for political reasons, to try to address these concerns that they have, and perhaps invite the law enforcement agencies to get involved as well in the discussion?
Yeah, there is something underway at the moment. However, if you really get to the bottom of it, you might want to think that some of these issues we are seeing are, for lack of a better term, preconceived, because remember, ZCID as an institution can only go to an extent of calling these stakeholders involved to the table to speak. And we have done that before. This is not the first time things like this are happening.
Dori Njovu Kabu is the executive director of the Zambia Center for Interparty Dialogue. She spoke with me from the capital, Lusaka. Meanwhile, Zambian President Hakainde Hichilema has called for stronger partnerships between African government and the private sector to develop information and communications technology in the education sector on the continent. Hichilema made his remarks at the Ministerial Africa Innovation Summit with more than 300 delegates from 40 African countries in the Zambian capital, Lusaka. The two-day summit ended on Friday, November 18. For VOA, Kathy Short reports from the Zambian capital, Lusaka.
The Africa Innovation Summit is an Africa-wide and homegrown initiative aimed at harnessing the innovation potential of the continent. It works together with the Global Education Partnership, which has similar objectives. The meeting aimed to mobilize the people, especially those with the power to act, including investors, policymakers, and others, to promote and build an enabling environment that will let new ideas flourish. The summit brought together governments, the private sector, civil society, and pioneers in Africa's education sector. This year's theme was digital transformation in education and skills development for Africa. At the end of the two-day event, delegates pledged to ensure that every child has access to education and computers in classrooms to enhance their knowledge in both urban and rural areas on the continent. They say this enhances the learning process, enabling children access to lessons even remotely. The delegates called for mutually beneficial partnerships with the private sector, which will in turn provide affordable computers in school as well as resources to invest in education. In his remarks at the event, Zambian President Hakainde Hichilema emphasized the need to invest heavily in education through the use of technology.
So partnerships are the way to go, and I'm talking about real and impactful partnerships between our individual governments and industry. I think it's high time that our educational systems and curricula began to train at an early age again, another dynamic subject of entrepreneurship, early on in the school system.
And speaking earlier at the event, former president of Tanzania, Jakaya Kikwete, said Africa is facing an education crisis that has seen over 100 million children drop out of school. Kikwete is the chairman of the board of directors of the Global Partnership for Education, which focuses on enhancing education financing in more than 80 lower-income countries. He has called for massive investment in education, the inclusion of the marginalized children in the school system, and political will from African governments to move forward.
Since its inception 20 years ago, the Global Partnership for Education has helped 160 million more children, including twice as many girls as before, to attend school in partner countries and boost learning outcomes. Achieving a quality education for Africa's children requires us to reimagine and transform education systems.
The technological revolution sweeping the world is beginning to have a profound impact on Africa. Educators say this presents an opportunity to hit the reset button and reimagine the education landscape by addressing the challenge of exclusion to achieve quality education for all in Africa. I'm Kathy Short for VOA News in Lusaka, Zambia.
In South Sudan, Trinity Energy, a petroleum company, says it is working closely with the administration in Juba to provide an adequate supply of energy, including electricity, for domestic and industrial use. Representatives of the company say it has embarked on a renewable energy drive to help provide sustainable energy, since they add South Sudan is blessed with abundant sunshine and other natural energy sources apart from oil. The remarks come as the United Nations Climate Change Conference in Egypt ended Saturday. Ken Mugambi is Trinity Energy's deputy director and heads the company's expansion strategy. He tells me that his organization remains committed to South Sudan's socioeconomic development and the promotion of investments.
So the country has not had, you know, access to power distribution or grid connection for a long time. Our role and our focus as a company is to bridge this energy access for the people of South Sudan, and we view renewable energy as a key avenue for realizing this energy access, particularly because South Sudan is already blessed with plenty of sunshine, but also plenty of hydro. So our focus as an organization is to help the country achieve energy access for its people through particularly developing solar projects, mini grid projects, and off grid projects that help to accelerate power access for the people of South Sudan.
I understand you have your organization has approximately 40% of the market share. How does this translate into a working relationship to entrench or build upon this renewable energy? And how beneficial will this be for the people of South Sudan?
So we've succeeded in realizing, you know, petroleum of security, energy security for South Sudan. Now our focus is shifting to addressing the lack of power in the country, the lack of energy access from a power side. So what we've done is address energy access from a petroleum fuel side. And now we are moving to address the challenge of power access. And so we are leveraging on already existing capacity to effectively deploy projects within South Sudan to then develop power distribution projects across the country, starting off with Juba, which is the main city. And here we are working on a project that is being spearheaded by the Ministry of Energy and Dams. We are working as a subcontractor to an Egyptian company, but ultimately will then become the operator and operations. We'll take over the operations and maintenance of this solar 20 megawatt solar power plant that is at its final stages of development.
How sustainable will this renewable energy be, and can the people afford the cost of production and distribution of this renewable energy supply?
So South Sudan, like many African countries, is blessed with plenty of sunshine, plenty of hydro resources. The cost of this solar project is cheaper than running a thermal power plant. I think that probably would be the starting point. It's cheaper than running generators, individual generators that many households, many businesses right now are running in South Sudan. So what these renewable projects are coming in to do is to get rid of the very inefficient and environmentally negative, small generators that are powered throughout the night, noisy, consuming diesel, polluting the environment. So the initial phase of these projects are really intended to address, the inefficiencies that arise from South Sudan not having grid access or, a power distribution system within the country. Now, the cost might not be as cheap as, elsewhere, even if, say, Kenya or elsewhere where similar renewable projects are being run, again, based on demand and supply. But definitely, it's a much cheaper and better alternative to what is currently there.
Ken Mugambi is Trinity Energy's deputy director and heads the company's expansion strategy. He spoke with me from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. As world leaders meet in Egypt to discuss ways to combat climate change, one possible solution is brewing across the continent in Benin. Benin has built an industrial park to move the country away from exporting raw materials to making finished products. If implemented on a larger scale, activists say the trend will cut down on emissions from shipping that contribute to global warming. For VOA, Henry Wilkins reports from Jigbe, Benin.
In Benin, a new industrial park is taking shape that aims to be a model for local manufacturing while also reducing global emissions. Although still under construction, Arise IIP's Glode Jigbe Industrial Zone, GDIZ, is already processing cashew nuts and making clothes for Western markets. Making finished products is new to Benin, Africa's largest raw cotton exporter, and is providing jobs to locals like Marlene Kezik-Lunon.
I am especially happy in this environment. It was no ordinary thing, since we're used to tailoring as a cottage industry here. I was always interested in tailoring, so it was a goal of mine to get involved when the park opened.
Economists say industrial parks will shape Africa's future as it pivots from the export of raw materials and imports of finished products to local production. If the continent can develop its own manufacturing, that means more money for African economies and lower prices for end consumers. GDIZ says processing raw materials at home is also good for the planet.
The raw cashew is processed here. And instead of that, going to Vietnam and then back to the European market and American market to be sold to the consumers, that alone is allowing us to reduce the carbon footprint. Then you take cotton, same thing.
The World Bank says international shipping accounts for 3% of global greenhouse gas emissions that are fueling climate change. Activists agree that cutting shipments of African raw materials for overseas processing would help reduce the damage. Faye Abasov is with Transport and Environment, a campaign group shaping the European Union's green policy.
We tend to produce raw materials in one country, transport it to another to process them, and then ship them to a third country to sell the final products. If we can get to an economy where raw materials are processed closer to the extraction points, we can cut down quite a lot of unnecessary emissions.
While the overall impact of reduced shipping is a fraction of global emissions, supporters say African manufacturing still has a role to play in the fight against climate change. Henry Wilkins for VOA News, Djigbé, Benin.
This is the Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clotty, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa Sports with Samson O'Malley. That will be followed by a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs and Music from African Collection. But first, it's now time for Nightline Africa Sports, and for that, let's join Samson O'Malley. Hello, Samson.
Hi, Peter, and good evening, sports fans. Welcome to Nightline Africa Sports. After 4 years since the last World Cup in Russia, the 2022 FIFA World Cup hosted by Qatar got underway on Sunday after a colorful opening ceremony as host Qatar take on Ecuador in the tournament's opener. 64 matches will be played with 32 nations competing. Africa will be represented by Tunisia, Morocco, Cameroon, Ghana, and Senegal. The five teams from Africa will be hoping to improve on their performance in Russia 2018, where none of the continent's representatives progressed past the group stages for the first time since 1982. Luxolo September is the head of broadcast and media communications at the Confederation of African Football.
Now, we have to ask ourselves as Africa, have we progressed from 1990 to 2022? And what do we need to do to progress in 2022? And progression doesn't necessarily mean going to the next round. That is not progression. Our bar must be very higher than that. For me, progressing just beyond the group stage and ending it there is a failure.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino has accused the World Cup critics of hypocrisy during a news conference on the eve of the FIFA World Cup in Qatar. Infantino's comments came the day before the World Cup begins in a country which has been criticized over a range of issues since it was named as host of the tournament 12 years ago, including allegations of human rights violations and treatment of migrant workers.
I think for what we Europeans have been doing in the last 3,000 years around the world, we should be apologizing for the next 3,000 years before starting to give moral lessons to people. We fight for human rights. We have results in our fights for human rights. Many more results than many others, and these things have to be said as well. That's the hypocrisy is on the other side. When you pretend to have a moral and give moral lessons to others, but in reality your situation is maybe not that good either.
Staying with the Qatar World Cup, history will be made as female referees will for the first time officiate at a men's World Cup. Rwanda's Salima Mukasanga, France's Stephanie Frappart, and Japan's Yoshimi Yamashita were included in the list of 36 referees selected by FIFA, while three more women will head to Qatar as assistant referees. Rwanda's Mukasanga says it is an honor to become Africa's first female referee to officiate at the Men's World Cup.
Yeah, it's a first time for women being part of a Men's World Cup because this is the big competition. But women, they're here because they deserve to be here. We worked hard, we fight, and then we are here. It means we deserve, and then we're going to show the world that we deserve to be here. And then be part of people playing that history, it's another level. It's something really, really so excited. Being here, it's another opportunity I get, and then another chance also for the rest of young women to dreams also, to dream and reaching higher.
And that's all for this week's edition of Nightline Africa Sports. Back to you, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Samson. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. We'll link up with you again next Sunday for another look at African sports. Nightline Africa Sports. Now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospect in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. The East African community should be commended for its desperate effort to bring peace and security to Eastern Congo. This territory, far from Kinshasa, the capital, is very rich in mineral and appears to present a tempting opportunity to those who want to enrich themselves. For a long time, the people of this region have suffered in misery because of the competing interests of local fighting forces. The M23 is the best known, and there are also other small fighting forces that are there causing a lot of problems. The government of the DRC has blamed the government of Rwanda for instigating much of the fighting by its support of M23 forces. The government of Rwanda has denied it and said that the government of the DRC has failed to control hostile fighting forces that are situated in Eastern Congo and are a menace to the security of the Congo. The government of DRC recently expelled the ambassador of Rwanda due to all of the fighting. The people themselves have been yearning for a stabilizing force in the region. They have complained that the UN peacekeeping force in the region has not been able to protect them or ensure stability. Now, former President Kenyatta has been designated to bring about some stability on behalf of the East African community. Already, we see forces of Kenya and other neighboring states to find a way to ensure stability. A statement made by the commander of the Kenyan contingent is very interesting. While the people were looking immediately for security by the force, he said that the force initially was not going to combat the M23, which the people consider as a menace. He said they would try some diplomatic efforts, and if that fails, then they can think about using force. And just a few days ago, it was announced that contacts had been made with the president of Rwanda, that they have agreed that a ceasefire should be restored in the region. But we have gone through this before, and it's time that these new efforts should be bring more stability. One should not forget that this region of the DRC was the place where the successful revolution against Mobutu regime started. That effort also embraced a number of African countries, and experts then dubbed it the First African World War. President Kenyatta intends to collect or bring together all the fighting forces in Nairobi for discussion. But they should go more than that. There is a need for the international community to the Security Council to do something to ensure the territorial quality or the safety of the DRC. This is something which has been said for other countries like in Ukraine, where the territorial integrity is a number one problem. If this is successful, then all this fighting force should be disbanded, and no fighting force should be allowed to stay in the region. So let's hope that the Kenyatta efforts will be successful and that the people of Eastern Congo will be able to enjoy peace and security. I thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. It's Sunday on Nightline Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect, a flashback with music from the continent.
Another wonder, another goal, another wonder, another goal, another wonder, another goal, another wonder, another goal. Put your hands up in the air, oh, for wave them like you care. Put your leg up in the air, oh, make me rave up like Coachella, Coachella. They give us no chance that we make it, now I'm all out there. They said no chance we could make it, now see us today. Follow the bring oneness. No way solo go win contest. Make we party and feel the hardness. Make we follow and feel the highness. See us follow the bring oneness. Make we party and be the badness. Color, color, see me waving my color. Color, color, shaking booty for camera. Color, brother, see you rocking your colors. Tundra, tundra, feel it crazy like Chaka.
Another goal, another wonder, another goal, another wonder, another goal, another wonder, another goal.
Put your hands up in the air, oh, for wave them like you care. Put your leg up in the air, oh, make me rave up like Coachella, Coachella. They give us no chance that we'd make it, now I'm all out there. They said no chance we could make it, now see us today. Colo to bring oneness. Love is solo go win contest. Make we party to feel the hardness. Forget it. Make we colo to feel the highness. See us colo to bring oneness. Make we party and be the badness. Color, color, see me waving my color. Color, color, shaking booty for camera. Color, brother, see you rocking your colors.
Them chili barrow, back in Nabaw. Bunny deep body, them do I'm like Namaw. Them conking or go. Wipe them 2x2 in chop out. 4-4 coat out. Lumpa don't show, everybody don't cow out. Call him mama out. Lumpa don't show, everybody don't chop out.
Yeah.
This country now.
Yo, lo, 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 lo.
This country now.
Ye, le, 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 le.
This country now.
Yo, lo, 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 lo.
This country now.
Ye, le, 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 le.
Badass. Jack, come on up. Manita ni ti domono. Manisi govono. Anipa ni ti domono. Manisi govono. Anita mi pi govono. Manisi govono. Anipa ni ti domono.
The bass is the para cause rapper no day. Every second and hour bro say politicians they boot us. Or lock by the shooters. I bobby try for cause they are one mugbe. Aye. They weigh me sometimes. A brother turn against his brother for life. A mother turn against her daughter. But why? I say I know hear you. You tell me, but why? 8 years ago, my man she them pay for me. Say who say them no say your boy them deaf fam. They no good chef fam. Pray the scars and set my boys on fire. Nobody greet when champ.
Them be para we. Angry mob them kill it para we. Back in about who. Bunny deep body them do I'm like Nama. Them conking or go. Wipe them 2x2 in jack bow. 4-4 put out. Lock don't show everybody don't cow out. Call it mama. Lock don't show everybody don't jack bow.
Yeah.
This country now.
Yo, lo, 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 lo.
This country now.
Le, 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 le.
This country now.
Yo, lo, 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 lo.
This country now.
Le, 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 le.
Jack, come on up. Anita, niti, domo, no. Man, si, governor. Anita, niti, domo, no. Man, si, governor. Anita, mi, pi, domo, no. Man, si, governor.
Make way, bad boys coming through. Jabba hustlers, boost lifestyle.
I'll be back. Just don't want to think about that. It's time for me to enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
Chilling with my girls and my homeboys.
And your homeboy pull up in the Rolls Royce. Throw fast when I'm cross up all, so there's no choice. And my import business get the house moist. I just landed from Dubai with the false choice. And I might pitch shorty from the chill joint. Make sure base for my crib, love my low push.
Next week, we go land in the knee. We go try going spots, we no plan to be seen. If I don't date G, I go have some bikini. Cause I drink, make nice, we ain't have to be me. God damn it.
Let me go on some holiday.
With us, cause when we come back and you see us so happy, you will never know why the fuss. We are going on an African holiday, you will want to come with us. Cause when we come back and you see us so happy, you will never know why the fuss.
Before I break down, I won't hike for Cape Town. Then try to figure out what the hell be Afrikaans. I make plans to climb Table Mountain for lap dance. But to go SA without visa, I Afrikaans. Charlie, flying within the continent is also dear. Resorts are all full of expats, so we don't go there so well.
Yes, of course, I just want chill.
That's right.
Big buttons, I just want drill.
Catch flights.
Jump and jump until my feel.
My appetite.
Podium truck in case I'm ill.
Also, I be jam, I be fun. Man writes my book. I never go Côte d'Ivoire. Tu sais Boca, my monk. On dit quoi? Another place take African bodies day. Africa on this sweet African holiday.
Oui. Yeah. Let me go on some holiday.
On the jacket, I said, one na 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 na. I'm ready soon, we all celebrate. Buy some shoes and get on the dance floor. We got to no time to waste. Sexy girl, dance for me, why? You be my woman. Let's see your body today. You fucking me that. Your boogie make a grace. Baby, come shaku for me. Wada wada for me. Oya shoki for me. Do the dance for me.
Yeah. So, 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 so.
Yeah, let me hear you sing.
So, 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 so.
Do the dance.
So, 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 so.
Yeah, let me hear you sing.
So, 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 so.
Yeah, move your feet to the left and right. And just turn around, baby. Some inside and look in my eyes. Some shy, cause you be the one for me. Joe Ben, you can be kaka. Say hot for me like that. You get Joe Ben, you can be kaka. Hey, your boogie maker, the great. You be my woman. Let's see your body today. You fucking me that. Your boogie maker, Chris. Baby, come Jacko for me. Bada bada for me. Oya Shocky for me. The dance from you.
So, 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 so.
Let me hear you sing.
So, 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 so.
Say ho, say ho, mommy, say ho. Baby girl, say ho, say ho, mommy, say ho. Yeah, say ho, mommy, say ho. Baby girl, say ho, mommy, say ho. Yeah, come dance for me. Come wine
break that body for me. Baby, come dance for me. You be my woman. Dirty your body today. You forgive me that. Your boogie make a crazy. Baby, come jacko for me. Bara bara for me. Boya shocky for me. Do the dance for me.
Fella. You tell me say you see me for club with Angela. Complain say I close to Nana and Abena. Tell me say you see me on top them. So because she talking for chat, say she won't block me for yard. We come out together, know me say I come out a partner. But you don't want to hear it when I'm talking the fact now. You still follow me for back, you still reject me. Am I the one at fault? Three more sexy. Because of ordinary message, we person send me. You don't reach where your doubts don't plenty. Come on now, you know I told you already. Yeah, I know it's so sketchy, but don't be so petty. No go to show envy, jealousy so deadly. I'll make it up to you, babe, make me a 430.
Mr. Coffee, coffee. No more story, story, oh. Make a movie, movie. Life in no get it party to it. Mr. Coffee, coffee. No more story, story, oh. Make a movie, movie. Life ain't no getting back to you.
Are you fit to make a woman cry? Are you fit to make a woman cry? Are you fit to make a woman cry?
Are you a gentleman? Are you fit to make a woman cry? Are you fit to make a woman sigh? Are you fit to take a woman's life? Are you a gentleman? Are you fit to take a woman's pride? Are you fit to play a woman's mind? Are you fit to break a woman's heart?
That was our Sunday music spot. Hope you enjoy the music from Nightline Africa here at the English service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we are on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Kwame Asante, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, even the best dancer on stage must retire sometime. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Good evening, Africa.